ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति शांति शांतिः. In this Panchadashi second chapter, where mainly the analysis of the elements is discussed, presented, we have come to the main statement, the main teaching, the unfoldment of the statement, Sadeva. Asi idamagra asit ekameva advitiyam. And actually the srishti prakriya or karana karya prakriya, this is a method of analyzing the very creation, and analyzing the creation we are going to analyze the elements and the elementals. By analyzing the elements and the elementals, we have to arrive at the actual reality. When you look at that reality as the cause of the universe, cause of the entire cosmos, and we say, we understand here, this reality alone was there before this universe originated. Reality alone was there. Sadeva asit. And Sad alone was there. And Sad only was there. And secondlessly it was. Non-dually, secondlessly, reality alone was there. To understand, it means nothing other than the reality was there. All that was there was reality. And that reality which alone was, is now also. Reality alone is here now in the form of, in this universe. This universe, which you are experiencing now, which you are perceiving now, which you are enjoying now, was there as reality. So reality was there before. Now what's the reality is there. So if we say it was there before, now what's the reality alone is the form of the universe. What is implied is, this universe which you are experiencing now is not creation. Is not newly created. It is only appearance of what was there before it appeared. But before only one was there. And that one which was there, when it to say all but all that was there was only the reality. And here Vidyaranya Swami introduced the differences. He mentioned about the differences, threefold differences. See, in this universe, what all, any one thing you think, anything and everything you say, take in this universe, everything is subject to these threefold differences. The sajatiya bhedaha, vijatiya bhedaha, swagata bhedaha. There are internal differences. There are every of it subject to different divisions within its own species or from different other species. So vijatiya bhedaha, sajatiya bhedaha, swagata bhedaha. All these differences are there. Are all these differences real? In fact, when you say reality, reality alone was there means it was free from all differences. Because for any difference to be there must be a second thing. Then you can say vijatiya bheda or sajatiya bheda. Even at least there must be a part, you can say swagata bheda. What was there was one indivisible, divisionless, partless whole. Therefore, no differences were there. It was secondless, only reality was there. Then what is new now? Why do you call the word creation? What has been created now? Nothing has been created newly. What was there alone has been brought into manifestation. What was not there before, what is now extra? Before the reality was there, now also reality is there. Before the reality was divisionless, now the divisions seem to be there. And these divisions are brought about by what? The expansion, the time and space, they brought about the divisions, numbers. So actually, the forms alone, all the forms which were unmanifest before, they were brought into manifestation. Even the forms also were not created. If you say clay was there already, pot was not there before the creation of the pot, what it means is clay alone was there before. This pot was alone in the form of clay. This pot, which exists now in the form of a pot, was there before as only pure clay. Which means the same clay continues to exist in the form of a pot also. What has been created now? Yes, the form pot has been created, you can say. Clay is not created. Can you say form? The pot has been created? No, the form also has not been created. The form also was already there before. Why do you say form was not newly created? Because whatever is created, it must have been there already. Because creating something out of nothing is not possible. Something must have been there already, isn't it? Something which is here now, what is existent, cannot be brought into existence from non-existent thing. You know, the form also was already there. Clay is not created with reference to clay pot. The form pot also has not been created. It was already there. Therefore, along with the form pot, the name also was already there. So form and name also was not created. Even the purpose the pot serves also was already there. Form, name, function or purpose, nothing has been created. Why? Because there can't be something called purpose or function of something without the form. There can't be a name without the form as well. Therefore, on all this form, name and function, nama rupa karmatmakam jagat, which was already there in an unmanifest form, and actually what was unmanifest has been brought into manifestation. This bringing the unmanifest form, name and function into manifestation is called creation. There is no such thing called creation. Nothing is created here. And this is what Vidyayana Swami is going to establish in these following verses. There is no creation at all. There is only manifestation. And the same form, name and function again can become what? Unresolved and unmanifest. Again, the form, name and function become unmanifest. They are not destroyed. They only, the form, name and function which are brought into manifestation, when they again become unmanifest, becoming unmanifest is called, in fact, destruction. Really speaking, there is no such thing called destruction at all. Nothing is created, nothing is destroyed. What, because the form, name and function was a non-existent, it becomes manifest again. Before it was unmanifest, it becomes manifest. Again, the unmanifest form, name and function become unmanifest and remain as one indivisible, partless whole, the reality. We call it a dissolution or resolution. It's called a destruction. Really speaking, there's neither creation nor destruction. This becoming manifest or becoming unmanifest is something happens constantly. Why it is happening? Do we have any say over that? Can you prevent it? No. When you analyze what you are, how can you stop anything? You know, are you there first of all for you to be able to do anything? Isn't it? When you don't even understand what you are, how you are, you don't even know what you are. I mean, you really discover what you are and you understand there's no you. And whatever is there is only reality. And there is apart from reality. What else is nothing else? Only reality is there. And when this reality, the water unmanifest becoming manifest is, we say, it is the power of reality. In fact, before entering into the actual, the text, what I'm supposed to do today, I thought, let me answer certain things. I really want to make it very clear, the word Maya. See, I'm stopping. I'm not actually taking up the text today. Text I'm stopping separately. Again, I'll pick up where exactly I left last class and I'll continue with that. I remember where exactly we stopped, where we should continue away from. I remember. Today, if you all can leave the class with a clear understanding of Maya, I'll be very happy. We say, when you say what is, there is only reality, a secondless non-dual reality. For us, there's nothing other than the reality. So when you discover what that reality is, and reality as your own sorupam, you as a discoverer, as a knower, also will resolve in the very reality. You can only understand what is that one thing from which the entire universe has become manifest. You can never understand how the universe has come into manifestation. What is that from which the entire cosmos of innumerable countless things has become manifest, you can understand. You can discover. In discovering what is that one thing from which everything has come into existence, the very you obtaining as the knower, the discoverer will resolve for good. Therefore, you will not be there afterwards. After discovering what is that one thing, having discovered that, you will not be there. Why? You would have resolved the very I, the reality. Therefore, you as a searcher, a knower, being not there anymore, again, how the one has become this entire universe, that will be remain as a eternal mystery. That question will, that you can never find an answer for that question. Why? I told you already, the one who wants to know how this universe has come into existence, how this entire cosmos has come into existence, become manifest from the only reality. To discover that, first of all, you should know what? What is that reality from which the universe has come into existence? Only after discovering what is the reality from which the universe has become manifest, you can discover how that this universe has come into existence, manifestation from that only reality. But before finding the second answer for the second question, even when you discover the answer for the first question, the very you obtaining as the knower, experiencer, discoverer, the searcher will resolve. You will not be there anymore. There won't be discoverer anymore. Hope you are getting, understanding what I'm saying. You will say what now? The one who wants to know, the knower, will be.
These people never think, you know, people always want to know how this universe of multifarious things, innumerable countless objects, how it has come into existence, how it has become manifest. This question will ever be a mystery. After discovering what is that one reality from which the universe has become manifest, you should continue to exist. You must be there around as a knower, one who wants to know. I am here as a searcher, as a seeker, experience, a discoverer. I am here with the desire to know. As a jignyasu, I'm sitting here. I'm a jignyasu, I want to know. What is the reality from which the universe has come into existence? What is the reality? No. Then how this universe has come into existence? I want to know answer for these two questions. Okay, first of all, you discover what is that one reality from which the universe has become manifest. Discover that first. Then you can think how it has come into existence. You must know first of all what is atta, wheat flour, isn't it? Then you can know how to make chapati. You don't even know what atta is and you learn the process how to make chapati. What is the use? How can I, without this stuff, how can you make it? There's no way. You know first what is that, then you can discover how to make chapati. You can practice this. That's a different thing. Even there, the simplest thing you need to know what is first. Similarly, what is that one reality? What is that only substance? Only truth, only reality, Param Brahma, Jagat Karanam, we say, from which this entire universe has become manifest. Not create, it was there unmanifest before, that reality. The whole universe remained in the reality in an unmanifest form as reality, as the only reality it existed before. And from that universe, it has become manifest. So what is that? You can understand. And the which of our Shastram helps you to understand. All the prakriyas are used. And there Shastram makes it very clear. What you want to know is the subtlest reality, the most abstract truth, you know, which is subtler than the thoughts, subtler than the mind. A most abstract, subtlest. It cannot be described because word itself is what? Word itself is expression of the manifestation of knowledge. How can the word describe the very truth of the knowledge? No way. The thought itself is what? Manifestation of knowledge. How can the thought, which is manifestation of knowledge, which itself is a manifestation of knowledge, conceive the very source of knowledge? No. How can the reality be perceived when the reality itself being the very truth of the mind which backs up even the sense organs? That is why we always, the reality is not available for perception, not available for thought conception, not available for word description, is not even objectifiable. No? Therefore, it has to be discovered. It is available for recognition. You don't even realize it is available for recognition. Not realization. Recognition only as the swarupam, the very truth of the subject, the knower, the experiencer. That is why Shastram tells you, ask the question, who am I? Who wants to know what this truth is? From which the universe has come into existence. In discovering the truth as the very I, very swarupam of I, what happens? The I itself will resolve. The knower will resolve. When the knower will be resolved, knower is not there anymore for you. When you say there is no knower, then therefore further knowing is not possible. Therefore, the second answer for the second question will always be mystery. This you should remember first. Because the purpose also becomes served, isn't it? Once you resolve the discoverer, or the very knower, subject, I, then the very moksha, isn't it? That itself moksha, purushartha, becomes attained there itself. Nothing else to be attained afterwards. That is why we say, knowing which everything else becomes known as it were, accomplishing which everything else is accomplished as it were, after attaining which nothing else will be there to be attained. We talk, that's why Narayana, you know, we say what the ultimate end of human, the mind, etc. All these things we say. Why? Because this is the end. Okay. If at all you want to know how this has come, anything you discover, suppose, within physics we are trying to know how this has come from that, this has come from that, that has come from that. People are still working. Hey, you can do hundreds and hundreds and thousands of, you know, researchers can go on in all the universities and all the labs everywhere. They can come out with the new and new and new and the latest and the latest and the latest or subtlest of the facts. But how many of our facts will be discovered? All the subtlest facts which are discovered within the field of science is all within the realm of objective material universe. Discovery of anything new, no, which has not yet been discovered before, which is going to be discovered newly, will be what? An object of discovery. The realm of the matter only. So any amount of discovery will only be the realm of matter only. Therefore, it can never take you to something. Because of the existence of which, blessing of which, the presence of which, the very discovery of anything is possible, is the reality. And that reality you need to discover. And that is to be discovered as your own Swarupam. In discovering which very discoverer you will resolve choicelessly, helplessly. Therefore, further discovery is not possible. Therefore, I'm repeating this again. The answer for the second question, how the universe has come into manifestation, your existence, from the one, it will ever be a mystery. Anyway, before that, we talk about something called Maya. Is it? See, very word Maya. Maya. Ya mean what? That which is. Ma means not. Ya is a relative pronoun. Ya is a relative pronoun. Yavalo. Literally speaking, Yavalo. Ya, that which is. Ma means not. That which is actually not is Maya. Actually, that which is not is Maya. That which is not there really is Maya. Maya means what? That which is not there really. When you say that which is not really, that which is as though. When you say that which is as though is Maya means that which has no independent existence. Therefore, it is Mithya. So, Mithya means it is non-countable. Therefore, Maya is a name attributed to the power of consciousness, which actually means what? That which is not really. Which means that which is as though. It has no independent existence, therefore it is Mithya. So this power, you talk about the power, and because of which there is manifestation possible. Without which manifestation is not possible. What is manifestation? Let me tell you first of all. Being manifest means the manifestation is nothing but recognizability. Being recognizable. anything which is unmoving, changeless, motionless, colorless, non-attractive is as good as, doesn't draw your attention, is as good as non-existent. For something colorful, moving, mobile, dancing, making noise, which is capable of drawing your attention, is as good as it is existent. Similarly, the reality as pure consciousness is there always, beginninglessly. Very fact that you all understand there is awareness consciousness, because of which talking is possible, listening is possible, understanding is possible. All of us understand the fact that there is consciousness, there is awareness, because we're all aware of what is happening. Our being able to be aware of what is happening itself is because of the consciousness, because of the awareness. So this consciousness, awareness, does it have a beginning? Who created this consciousness? No, it is not created. Consciousness is the reality, and everything in consciousness has a beginning, everything has an end. An object of consciousness, object of knowledge, has a beginning, has an end. In between beginning and end also a lot of changes. But consciousness by itself has no beginning, has no end. It cannot have beginning and end. And consciousness, being consciousness, there's no change or whatsoever is possible on the part of consciousness. Therefore, we also say nityaha. It is of the nature of changelessness, timelessness, etc. We say. And this consciousness, a beginningless, endless, a changeless reality, again, is not dependent for its existence also. Where does consciousness exist? How does it exist? You can never find the location of the consciousness. Why? Consciousness is the very substratum for everything. You only understand how consciousness is. What consciousness is. In fact, we don't even use the word what consciousness. We said the reality is of the nature of knowledge. Therefore, we use the term knowledge or consciousness to mean the reality. We are just to say reality, just vastu. There's no vastu other than the consciousness. So consciousness even does not depend upon anything else. So it's independent also. And definitely when you say consciousness pervades everything, how does consciousness pervade? Again, you have to understand the all-pervasiveness of consciousness only in terms of cognitions. Understanding what cognition is. You cannot go and see, is this chair pervaded by consciousness? Is this book pervaded by consciousness? Is the ocean pervaded by consciousness? Is it like how you can go and see, no? Does the smoke fill this room? You can go and see in every room. But can you go and see all pervasiveness means? Can you go and search for the pervasiveness of consciousness and find out? Can you objectify all pervasiveness? All pervasiveness cannot be objectified. All pervasiveness being the very sarupam of reality has to be understood again. Again, it's all appreciation, cognitive appreciation. And how do you understand all pervasiveness again? Even though it is literally all pervasive consciousness, when you understand that only as your Swarupa, so Kaittiriya Upanishad makes it very clearly, even though it is all pervasive, there's nothing which exists outside of this unarva, the consciousness. So still, for you to arrive at, understand what exactly it is, you have no choice. This Shastram says very clearly, Yo Veda Nihitam Guhayam Parame Vyoman. It only in your own, the cave of mind, it has to be discovered. That too as very truth of the I cognition, I thought. Because beyond which the mind cannot go. And again, you have to discover it as subtlest reality has to be discovered as the very truth of the subtlest thought only. See, where you see the table, there alone you have to discover what? The wood. You can never go and search for the truth of the table, outside of the table. Where exactly the truth, the furniture is, there alone you have to find the truth of the furniture. Where the wave is, there you have to find the water, discover the water. So where this, what is the subtlest of the, to discover subtlest, go to subtlest of the manifestations, subtlest of the products. Then if at all you go, what is subtler? You have to reduce subtler of all the material manifestations. Mind is subtlest of the manifestations. Then again in the mind, what is much subtler? Much subtler. You have to go to the very eye cognition. I thought, the knowledge of existence of one's own self, up to the realm of thought, you use the expression I to refer to yourself. And when you understand what that I is, you have to say it's only a thought. It's expression. Word is an expression of thought. A thought is a manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, when you go to that, then what is the truth of that knowledge? Where does this knowledge of the self or of anything in the world, obtaining in the hymn of thought, rise, exist and resolve? That's what Guhayam Nihitam Taittiriya Upanishad says. When you discover it, you definitely arrive at what? Arrive at the pure conscious. You understand that reality, because of which the thought being not there, thought being there is known, is of the nature of knowing. And that reality, therefore we use the word consciousness or awareness or knowledge. The only way you can arrive at it, you only understand it. After understanding, you cannot talk about it again. No word can describe Kandavar Vindilar. No word can describe. You need not talk also about it. You only understand what it is, how it is. In the fact, therefore, this is what the reality. But what you have to understand that, you see, you can understand how amazing it is. It is the, what is this reality capable of? So there is a power. There's no such thing called power sitting separately. When you see the light, just the light is there. And from the standpoint of the opaque things which shine, you arrive at the conclusion, my God, it is this light which has this amazing power of illumining things. Is something called power sitting separately outside of the light? There's only one thing called light. Prakashaha. Just there is a prakashaha jyotihi. There's only light. And because the opaque things shine in the light, in the presence of the light, it is your, you say, what can I say? You want to say something. Amazing. There's only this. Why? If this light is not there, opaque things cannot shine. The light is, opaque things shine. Therefore, this amazing power the light has got. The light has got the power of illumining. Now I'll ask you, is there something called power of illumining? There's only light. There's no power of illumining. The nature of the light, illumining is the very nature. It is your astonished expression of your astonishment. Oh, look at this, everything shines. It is all because of, want to say something about this. The power of light, the nature of light. Suppose, imagine all the opaque things do not exist at all in the presence of the light. Then also what is there? Light alone, imagine, just imagination, okay? It's all about imagine. Imagine if the light alone is without any opaque things. Then the power of illumination, the power of the light, the power, so light is of the nature of illumining. There's no possibility of you are recognizing the very light. You cannot appreciate what this light is capable of. It is the presence of the opaque things. Because they come to light, they shine, you appreciate what? In the presence of the presence of the opaque thing, which really helps you discover what this light is capable of. Therefore, you say there is a power of light. There is only just the light. There is no really something called power of light. It's only your expression, isn't it? Light has got this power. The standpoint of the opaque things. Similarly, when you say there is just the reality, there is no such thing called power. And the reality is of the nature of knowing. Therefore, we use this word is what? Knowledge and being conscious. Being aware, being conscious, knowing is the very nature of the reality. In fact, no word, even the word consciousness, you cannot use. Because of the nature, we say what? Use the word consciousness, awareness, knowledge, etc. Just the reality. How can you arrive at it? You arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of knowing. Therefore, the word knowledge is used. You arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of being conscious. Therefore, you arrive at the reality as consciousness. You arrive at it only in terms of its nature of being aware. Therefore, even the other words, even the words consciousness, awareness also, only in terms, those words reveal the reality in terms of its nature. What is nature? Therefore, what we need to understand, there is no such a thing called power other than the reality. And we look at it as what? From the standpoint of the opaque things, we say amazing. What is that which makes this opaque things shine? The presence of the light. So we hear what now? This light has some power of illumining, which is a sarupam. Similarly, there's no such a thing called a power or anything. There's only reality. We say the power of consciousness, power of reality. We talk about it. You know, what this is the power of light, power, the illumining power. of the light, which brings all the opaque things into manifestation, brings into existence, without which the opaque things would have been as good as non-existent. Similarly, it is the power of consciousness, we call it. But even though we say power, we call it a material cause and all that. Really speaking. And we talk because it depending upon how, where it is manifest. We talk about the three gunas and all that. So here, that's why if at all you talk about it, it's only mithya. There's no, it doesn't exist outside of independently as a countable parallel reality. They're not two. Consciousness and its power. Light and its power. You cannot talk about it. Even though you use the term power of light, or power of the illumining is the power of light, knowing is the power of the reality, it is not something parallel or second, accountable. It's an expression. That's why we call it a mithya. Okay? That's why we call it a mithya. That's why long, long ago I gave the example of water and stillness. Even though it is not very, very 100%, you know, acceptable example for all of some of you. I gave the example of stillness and water. Water is means water has to be in some form. So we say water is that there's a stillness of water, and stillness is disturbed. And why stillness gets disturbed? Getting disturbed is the nature of the stillness. Stillness cannot remain stillness. It still undergoes change, and therefore there are waves. So waves are not the actually, if you ask the what is the cause, then you talk about two causes, relative cause and the absolute cause. There is no such a thing called stillness outside of the water. Therefore, the waves, we can say immediate cause of the waves is the stillness. Relative cause of the waves is stillness. The absolute cause is water, because without water there can't be stillness, or therefore there can't be waves also. That is why stillness is also mithya, waves also are mithya. It's what satyam is only water. I said this. Therefore, we say this, we're going to see anyway in the later on, we're going to talk about it. We do not have any confusion about it. Maya is a word which means that which is not. Ya, ma, sa, maya. That which is not means what? That which is not really. What is there is only the truth of maya. There is no such a thing called stillness, okay? What is really there is the truth of stillness. Which is as though, that's why maya is mithya. And the truth of maya, the power is, we say, the satyam. And how long are you using? Until we arrive at the truth. Once you arrive at the truth, this mind has to be slowly, gradually has to really help to arrive at what exactly the truth is, reality is. Once you arrive at the reality, you will resolve mithya in satyam, maya in brahma. There is neither maya, nor jagat, nor jiva. Nothing. What is there is only Brahma. Brahma mokkate. Brahman alone is there. Isn't it? All is there is only reality. Until you arrive at it, Shastram will use all these words. So you need not break your heads too much. what is this reality capable of? What is the capacity? What is the power? Because everything we experience is very, very, very gross. Everything objectable is gross. Everything perceptible is gross. So for us, anything experienced is real. Anything perceptible is very real. Because our understanding of the word reality itself begins with what? What we experience. Therefore, it is very difficult for us to accept the fact the experienced world is not real. It's as though that itself is very, very difficult because our minds are very gross. It has to become much more refined to understand the fact what I'm experiencing is as though. It is a lot of guts. We don't say it's unreal, okay? It's not tucham. It's as though. To say it very clearly and boldly, you should know what is a satyam. That is why the maya becomes something very, very for us, you know, it makes us think a lot. Oh, when you say maya is the material cause, why do we say maya is the material cause? We give the example very easy to understand. Wood is the material cause. Carpenter's skill and knowledge is the intelligent cause. Nimitta karanam, upadana karanam. You see both the cause in the inseparably in that any wooden product, any furniture. Abhinna nimitta upadana karanam. It's all kindergarten lessons we understand very well. Why do you say that? Because just as only when the stillness of water is, the stillness of water is of the nature of getting disturbed, subject to get disturbed. Therefore, that disturbance alone results in what? The creation of many waves. And those waves are not created newly. They were already there in unmanifest form. The waves remaining, the waves are unmanifest, innumerable, countless, unmanifest wave forms, along with the name, words, is what? Stillness. Waves unmanifest is stillness. Stillness disturbed is waves. And there's no such thing called stillness or waves outside of the truth called water. So that there's a stillness of the reality, which again a different meaning word for that. There's a stillness of reality, silence of the reality. When that this stillness of reality is disturbed, there is this world of objects. And there's something called experience of the objects. And again, when all these objects resolve, again there is all the forms, nama rupa atmakam jagat resolves, again there is stillness. So when you're fast asleep, what is there? When you're fast asleep, what is there? You may say, no, I am that, Jagat also is there. This is another problem, isn't it? When I am that, Jagat also is there. Does Jagat exist for you? That is the question. See, because the still identity is with the body, if the identity is with the body, then you will say what? Even if I am sleeping, Jagat is there. The word will say. Really speaking, there is no Jagat for the one who is fast asleep. Jagat doesn't exist. Therefore, Jagat is not there. But if we fall asleep, So what disturbs? That's why we talk about Ishvara. Why do we need to talk about Ishvara? Because the order. Even though order is mithya, everything is mithya other than satyam. Still I talk about the Ishvara order, because that stillness cannot remain as stillness all the time. It is disturbed. And again, there's manifestation, there's perception, there's experience of the world. This individuality comes, the knower known duality comes, the plurality comes, multiplicity comes, experiences happen. All the pains and pleasures, all pairs of opposites are there. But whatever is there, all these pairs of opposites, all the experiences, all the plurality, multiplicity, the variety, innumerability, countlessness of forms, names and functions and purposes, the grossest and the gross and the gross, subtle and the subtler and subtlest, of everything is what? Or like the waves only. They're as good as the waves. Form, name and function called waves. And what is that one substratum? What is that one truth outside of which all this cannot exist at all? We say is the reality, which is of the nature of knowing. Therefore implied by the word consciousness or awareness. Is finally to be discovered, and wherein you will discover even yourself. Even as an individual, you see this mind, and where even this thought, you understand your own mind, you understand your own emotions, you understand what is emotion, you understand very you. Where all the divisions will resolve, differences will resolve. That's why we say only until you arrive at the truth, we have to use all these things, even the human mind is highly capable of arriving at this very truth. In discovering, the mind will resolve. Mind cannot continue to survive after having discovered it, having resolved itself in the truth. That is why I told you the camphor is used in the temples. The camphor, having shown Bhagavan as Swarupam, it will resolve, disappear. Camphor will not be there anymore. Similarly, in discovering which very you to discover will resolve, because the mind will resolve. As long as Parabdha is there, because of the momentum created by the earlier on activities, there will be for some time Parabdha. Anyway, the minute the Parabdha ends, the mind leaves, means that mind will not come back again. It will resolve for good. It can't. That is why we call Jivan Mukti, Videha Mukti also we talk about. So we give all different methods of arriving, discovering, this talking about this material cause, intelligent cause. Even this very karana karyam is only a prakriya, it's only a methodology. There's no real cause, there's no real effect. So prakriya, what is really there is only the truth. And anything else is as though, which is all appearance, and the manifestation of the only truth. This is what Shastram finally experts had to arrive at. We don't even know, we don't need to bother about how analyzing how the objective world is. We discover I, it's enough. That is why now only that it will resolve. He's going to talk about it all this. So discovery of anything within the realm of the discovered, the known world, objective universe, is only will be incomplete knowledge. The discovery of the discoverer discovery of the very knower of the, who the knower is, discovering the knower, in which we put an end to the very discovery, the search. Because nothing else can be discovered, because that is the satyam. In fact, what these thoughts are, later on we'll find out all those things anyway. We'll come across all those things. Just I want to tell you why the Maya. That is why the power of reality is known by the word Maya. And you understand that power, the reality having that power also only from the standpoint of the experienced objects. What is it because of which experience is possible? We can say Indriyani. So Indriyani Paranyahu. Amazing. The sense powers, which is superior? The world is superior. Or your sense powers are superior. Which is superior here? Who is superior here? No, however big the universe is, how great the universe is, how vast the space is, how great the time is, timeless time, the time is time bound, timeless space. No, time or space also time bound. Space into space, big, so what? You know? You have to see only that it is there. Without you, the space has no existence. Time has no existence. So what? All these five objects are what? Indriyani paranyahu. Indriyas are superior. Because the world is dependent on your sense organs. The world is not superior. Your sense organs are superior. Indriyebhyaha param manaha. The mind is superior to the sense organs because sense organs without your mind will be as good as non-existent. Manasastu para buddhihi. Yet attention is backing. There must be registration must happen, the knowledge must take place. Only then it is, the object is. Manasastu para buddhihi. Buddhestu paratastu saha. Check the verse from Bhagavad Gita. What is there? Buddhehe parataha. Saha. That Bhagavan, that Paramatma, absolute self, obtaining as very you, is the exalted. Without whose person there can't be buddhi, there can't be mind, there can't be sense organ, therefore there can't be perception, there can't be the world also. So the introduction of the nature of reality, the power of reality, is only to help us arrive at the reality through the analysis of the experienced objects. That is why carefully the word Maya has been chosen. Meaning Yama Sa Maya. That which is not is Maya. That which is not by itself is Maya. Edhi illayo adu Mayaina. The question is, why should we break our heads about what is not there? We don't see that which is not there at all. That which is as though. That which is not really is Maya. That which is a name attributed to the reality, that there's something belonging to reality, the standpoint of what it is capable of. That is why when you cannot say stillness is not countable, and with reference to stillness of water, stillness is not countable. So also waves are not countable. A number, if at all you count so many waves, all the very number is not there, not non-countable. So if the number of waves is non-countable, what about the movement of the waves? That's a mithya. Stillness is mithya. The karyam of stillness, karyam of the waves are also mithya. The movement of waves also is mithya. How the waves themselves are mithya. How can their movement be real? What about the movement of waves? Mithya. Therefore, mithya means what? There's no such thing called real waving movement. There's a seeming movement, seeming motion. So stillness is seeming. There's no seeming stillness. There's seeming waves. There are seeming waves. There's seeming motion. What is real then? Everything is seeming apparent. What is real then? What is that without which the stillness or waves or the motion cannot be there at all? Is satyam. And that is something called H2O, water. Everything is seeming only. Say, bring the same thing to the jagat now. What is that one thing without which there cannot be deep sleep state experience, there cannot be dream experience, or there cannot be subtle, gross experience of the gross world, there cannot be experience at all? So anything experience is what? Not only nama, rupa, also include karma. Nama, rupa, karma, kim jagat. I really adore, no? You have to see how Shankara says, what is jagat? His definition of jagat is nama, rupa, karmakyam jagat. He reduces jagat into three words. Nama, rupa, karma. Three things constitute the universe. Form, name and function. All the functions, all the whatever purpose it serves, everything is mithya. That's why I gave this example. Stillness is mithya. Waves are mithya. The motion on the part of waves, who is moving there? Does the water move? No, waves are moving. But without the water, can the waves move? Waves cannot even exist. How can they move? How can there be wavering? Well, everything is seeming apparent or not real. There's no real movement. Real wave is not there. Therefore, real movement of the wave also. Real stillness also. Everything is apparent, seeming. Therefore, we say water does not move. But without the water, wave cannot move. Therefore, that which moves in the form of wave is water. We say that. We never say wave is moving. That water is moving. That which moves in the form of wave is water. The one who waves is water. Similarly here, who is the doer here? Who is the doer? When you say all the forms are mithya, all the names are mithya, words are mithya, what about the functions and activities and experiences? Who is the knower? Who is the knower? Consciousness is not the knower, but the knower is mind. But the mind cannot be the knower without the blessing of consciousness. Therefore, you say what? The one who knows in the form of mind is what? The knower is consciousness. We say the knower is Ishvara. Who is the doer? Who is the experiencer? Who is the seer? Who is the hearer? Who is the smeller? Who is that one who is tasting everything? Who is the experiencer? Therefore, Atma is not the doer, seer, experiencer or hearer. But there cannot be doer, seer, experiencer other than the Atma. If the doer is Atma, experiencer is Atma, we have to say this way. Atma is not the doer, but there's no doer other than the Atma. I had to put this way. The same way, that's why example you have to remember always. The water is the only truth. stillness, waves, or the motion, everything is seeming apparent. That is why whole Jagat. What is Jagat? Nama, Rupa, Karma. Form, name and functions. Imply what? All sorts of movements and running around, slogging, our traveling. Isn't it? Everything is what? As though not real. Seeming apparent. It has a beginning, it has an end. Every association will result in separation also. Sometime they're all brought together. Sometime will all be separated. The whole teach, along with the teaching, we have to prepare our minds for everything. It's a fact. When we are all association, enjoying, engrossed in the pleasure of being together, we forget the fact as if we are going to be all together forever. Everything will fall apart, whether we like it or not. This is the fact. The whole teaching should contribute for our preparation. That is why all the time, I don't want to make you unhappy about things, but the fact is we have to see what is Satyam. That's why Aham Brahmasmi must become very clear, and then it has to be repeatedly dwelt upon, assimilated and ascertained also. That is why the mind itself has to become highly refined and subtle. Very subtle it has to become, to see the fact. Because to negate the world as mithya is not an easy joke. You can negate the world as mithya, then you can understand Maya easily. That's why even other classes I explained, the world is object of the world experienced. In fact, there's another expression also we have, experience and knowledge. In knowledge, there is experience, but in experience, there need not be knowledge. You may experience things, but you may not know, you may not have knowledge. Anyway, let me keep it for next session. I don't want to confuse you with those things now. At least understand this much. There is only the reality. There is no second thing other than the reality. There's no parallel reality. We used to two words. Advitiyam, Advaitam. Advaitam means what? Non-dual. Water and stillness are not two. They're not two. Therefore we say what? Advaitam. There's nothing other than water. Therefore it's Advitiyam, secondless. Advaitam, Advitiyam. Non-dual and secondless. Therefore, you cannot talk about something else. You don't need to think of Maya as something sitting separately there. Between Maya and consciousness, the power of consciousness and Maya, consciousness. Use the term Maya, that's all. Consciousness and power of consciousness. Are they two? Advaitam, non-dual. They are not two. Is there anything other than reality, consciousness? No, secondless, Advitiyam. Advaitam, Advitiyam, Ekam, Brahma. Because of this knower non-duality, division, which is seeming division. Knower is mithya, known is also mithya. The truth of knower and the known alone is satyam. Because of knower known division, we have to resolve this duality and we have to resolve the multiplicity and the plurality. The duality is dissolved is enough. the plurality is within the realm of known only, isn't it? Nowhere known duality is resolved. The plurality, multiplicity is resolved, as it were. Because the plurality is only within the realm of the known only. So divisions, the difference is all within the realm of the known. So this knower known duality, this itself is very real for, there is a problem. There is no knower, there is no known. There is no absolute knower, absolute known. The knower is relative status. Known is relative status. What is that without which there cannot be knower or the known is the only true satyam. And that is where our identity has to be resolved. Our identity must be there. And in recognizing one's own identity with that reality, we see the whole jagat also has to be resolved, identified where? There only. That is why the ahankara resolves totally. Why? When you recognize your own swarupam being consciousness. And in that, in the wake of that knowledge, you also see the fact of everything else being Brahma. Not only you are Brahma. Again, ahankara cannot stand. Aham alone Brahma. I alone Brahma. Not you, not anybody else. That you cannot say as well. There's only Brahma. Absolutely. That alone is permanent, that alone is real. And within that, again and again, repeatedly, these things, the world, this manifestation, then again world becoming unmanifest, world becoming manifest, world becoming unmanifest. World can never become manifest if you are not there. There won't be world without you. There's no world without you. You are, therefore the world is. You can't say world is, therefore I am. No, you are, therefore the world is. If you resolve your identity, the world will disappear along with you. There's no world independent of you, other than you for you. It's all, the cognitive shift alone has to take place. That's why all the panchakosha prakriya and all is very slowly done. Carefully done. Anyway, this panchabhuta prakriya, we are going to see that. We are going to really understand here. We just started. Anyway, next time we'll continue, because today I want to talk about it. Because any creation means, again, you have to talk about this maya. So I thought, let me talk about it. Doesn't matter. I never like to go like that. Sri Swamiji used to talk like this. Randomly just pick up and you should explain things. So I'm just telling you. We need to understand. We talk about the existence of the universe. Existence of the universe means what? The universe exists means what? Universe enjoys existence. Where does the universe enjoy existence? Where does it exist? What is the locus? Because our understanding of the word existence of something means always only within the realm of space. Where is Sydney in Australia? Where is London in United Kingdom? Yeah. Our understanding of the location is very, very gross understanding. We talk about the very existence. You have to discover what does the word existence mean, actually. So we are going to understand the meaning of the word noun existence. Understanding the meaning of the word existence is arriving at the reality. So we'll continue in the next class. Okay. Next class, hopefully I should be free. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. ओम शांति 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 हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम.